Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, April the 28th. We're about to get a big storm. Actually, we've been waiting for a storm all day, but I think it is near us, coming our way, so we should get some rain. Hopefully, we don't get disconnected from our friend George Rodriguez tonight when we're talking. Let me say hello to our friend George. George, is it raining down there?
Yeah, in fact, we have the storm that you're talking about. We've got it here right now.
Okay, so
as we speak, we're under a tornado alert. It doesn't mean that we've got a tornado imminent. It means that we're, that it might develop. So, yeah, we've got some rough weather. And in fact, the warning just went out, so maybe everything is passing. But we had some rough weather for the past 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, it's coming our way then. It's coming our way, and as I said, I thought we would get it this afternoon, but here, roughly 9 o'clock Central Time, it hasn't quite hit us yet, but it's supposed to be pretty hard when it does hit us. Well, we're going to be talking today about a couple of topics, George. One is something that has gotten some print, some coverage, and that is a convention of the states. A fascinating idea. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll talk about the border. We're still waiting for the vice president to pay you guys a visit down there, George. Maybe she will. You ought to check her schedule and see when she's going down, because so far she hasn't made any appearances. Well, we're going to be doing more analysis on the president's speech in the next couple of days. It's actually literally going on right now. And, George, I know that we talked a little bit about this off the air, but first of all, I think it's way too long. It is about as boring as anything I have seen. And I think the only conclusion that I can draw from this speech today is that maybe it was not a bad idea for presidents to send their State of the Union to the Congress so the Congress would read it, because I think this is a good example. I mean, I know that Vice President Harris and Speaker Pelosi get up every 2 minutes to cheer him. And they must be doing that to stay awake, George.
it's comical. I'm sorry, but it is comical. The scene is a little bit over the top. The guy has gone on too long, in my opinion. And the subject matter is less than exciting. He is not a good presenter. I'm sorry. He's like an old professor. He should have done it from another venue. Maybe right. Maybe like we were talking earlier. Maybe from the Oval Office in a in a type of setting like a fireside chat or something like that. But this situation that we've got right now, this scene that we've got right now is pretty bad. And he needs to wrap it up. The Democrats need to restrain their phony their enthusiasm. So I don't know. All in all, it's not a good picture.
No, not at all. And then the silliness of having people who have been vaccinated in wearing masks. It's just silly. I mean, it's just absolutely silly. I mean, they could have had a regular session tonight. If you want to wear a mask, that's okay. You can wear the mask. Nobody's going to stop you. But the silliness,
that message would have been more positive, sending something, more hopeful rather than
yeah.
this message that they're sending. You know, I don't know.
I agree. Look, it's not a good view. I agree with you. Look, there's probably 10,000 people at the Rangers game tonight watching a baseball game. And, you know, some of them are wearing masks. Many of them are not. But they're in a venue, and they're watching a game because, you know, we've opened up the state a little bit here. But I'm just sitting here watching this thing saying, if this is the best they got, they don't have much. And now I'm not talking – in the message, of course, you know, the content of the speech is very controversial because he's throwing a bunch of numbers around that need to be fact-checked, and I'm sure tomorrow they will be. But I just think overall this – I mean, I'm just looking right now at a scene where a bunch of Democrats are watching, and I got to believe most of these guys cannot wait to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably saying, okay, Mr. President, you know, it is an hour, and you need to wrap it up. So anyway, we'll do more analysis of the content over the next couple of days. But, you know, sometimes first impressions matter. And I always thought, George, and, you know, you worked in the Reagan and the Bush White House, and I always thought Reagan was the master at making a great impression, you know, when he gave these speeches. And I actually thought George W. Bush was very effective too, especially after 9/11, whenever he spoke to the Congress there. Obama was, I guess, in his own way effective. Trump had his own unique style. You cannot compare him to anybody. But this is, I don't know. I mean, I see Democrats, they're painful to watch. I think most Americans must be sitting there saying, when is this thing going to get over with? Well, we'll analyze it over the next few days and we'll kind of take it from there. But, George, there's a couple of issues that I wanted to get your opinion on and get your thoughts on. The first one is this convention of states, an idea that is going around. It's starting to get energy again. It did for a while, and then it kind of died down. I remember, I think it was during the Obama years that it picked up, and it seems to be coming back. The whole idea, as you know, George, is based on the Constitution that allows the states, or three-quarters of the states, to call for a convention. And there's talk of it again. I understand there's 15 states that have already signed on to the idea. You need 35. So you need a lot more. Oh, there goes Nancy Pelosi up again. She's been standing every 5 minutes. Seems like every other line she gets up and applauds. He probably needs the exercise to stay up awake. But your thoughts on the convention, because I understand, I know why we need one, because look at the number of executive orders that the president is signing. Look at the way that they're not even enforcing laws. Immigration is the best example. I guess they don't allow ICE to do their job. I mean, I would argue that, yeah, we need a convention of the states, George.
Yeah, we've got let me begin my comment by first of all reminding everybody that the name of our nation, the name of our country, is the United States of America. The whole idea has always, the power has always been resided in the hands of the citizens, who balance it between the states and the federal government. And the citizens are the ones that, you know, of each state are the ones that balance the power. And what we've got now are increasingly many, many, many people, increasingly, including yours truly here, who are becoming frustrated with the way that that Biden and these radicals in Washington are operating or managing this, administering the country. They appear to be doing things on whims and fancies that suit their political needs rather than based on the Constitution. And again, the most glaring one is the current border crisis that we've got. They are talking about humanitarian needs for people coming in into the country illegally. Well, what about enforcing the law? What about enforcing the laws rather than giving them money? Yeah. We've got increasingly a problem with crime and with violence. The aliens are getting increasingly more bold and violent on the border.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people are, you know, even Democrats are sitting up and saying, okay, we've got to do something. Consequently, this issue of the Convention of States that has been around for, you know, that really, really took root strongly in the Obama years, is now they're not careful. It's going to become a grass fire for them, because people don't want the federal government telling them what to do, including wearing masks.
Yes,
you know, issue of the mask and the shutting down of government of businesses, rather, because the government wants to watch out for your safety while at the same time they raise taxes. I mean, where is
right.
the logic there?
So, well, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, I fully understand and can see how people are becoming more and more frustrated and looking to a Convention of States.
Exactly. Now, we're still, you know, we're still, as I say, 15 or 17 states have signed up, so you need 35. But this is the kind of thing that could take off rather quickly. 31 of the 35 states have Republican legislatures, so your
right.
chances of getting those states are a little bit easier. 27 of those 31 have a Republican governor, and, you know, so you could see a movement in that direction. But what I think what troubles me more than anything else, George, about what President Biden is doing is this excessive use of executive orders. Now, I know that presidents sign executive orders, but most of it is for something that is within the executive or something, you know, it's sort of limited. But, you know, President Biden seems to be doing nothing but executive orders. And what bothers me also beyond that is that he is almost like going around some of the laws and, you know, for this whole thing with immigration on the border. I mean, where did they get the authority to allow people to come into the country and say, okay, just go in and, you know, we'll let you know where to show up? I mean, that is a violation of the law. The law doesn't say. I mean, there is an asylum law in the United States, and to some extent I'm a beneficiary of that. But clearly there was a process when my family came in, and the idea that you're going to have the President of the United States, you know, simply look the other way when thousands of people are coming in. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they're going. Well, they're going in many cases they're going to convention centers, as you well know. But also this is imposing a burden on states, cost. I just read that the governor has sent out a request to the states, to the governor here has sent out a request to the different districts saying, or the different sections saying, let me know how much this is all costing you so we can
yeah, right.
bill.
Well, I have been doing several interviews for my radio show
yeah.
with
sure.
With county judges and with sheriffs here along the border. And the costs are mounting very, very
yes.
quickly. One sheriff was telling me that he is flat out of body bags, so he doesn't know what to do, you know, or how they're going to be able to wrap the bodies
mm-hmm.
that they find. And they are, you know, they are substantial. They're way out in West Texas where there's nothing, where there's
right.
absolutely nothing. And the people are being dropped off, and they are getting lost in the desert, and they're dying.
Yes.
Another sheriff was telling me, or county judge was telling me about how they have three deputies to cover. The sheriff has three deputies to cover an area, a county, about almost the size of the state of Rhode Island. Imagine that.
Wow. Right.
The gas.
No, it's just
gas
yeah,
that they are consuming
yeah.
is tremendous. So who's going to pay for all of that?
Right.
And that is a direct result of this of their policy.
Exactly, and that's the whole point. I mean, that if you're going, you know, the job of the president, you know, whether you believe that there ought to be immigration reform, whether you believe that there ought to be DACA, all that stuff, you know, you can believe all that stuff, but you still have to enforce the law. And to my knowledge, George, there's not a single immigration law that says that you can allow people to come into the country without any accountability. I mean, that is why you have immigration laws, so that you have accountability on who comes in and who crosses your border and under what terms and conditions, as was the case with my family when we came to the United States. I mean, we didn't just show up in the United States. We had to go through a process. And even the Cubans who showed up in boats in Florida had to go through a process. They weren't just picked up, you know, taken from the raft to the, you know, downtown Miami and say, hey, welcome to the United States. That's not how it worked. They generally had to go through the authorities and in many cases were, in some cases, even detained for several days for a lot of different reasons. But that's what I think that the convention of the states, and that's why I think a lot of states are getting angry, because we're seeing a federal government basically do whatever it wants to do without any consideration whatsoever for the cost, as you indicated, George, for the burden that it imposes on these counties, like you were saying in South Texas. And it seems to me if the federal government is not going to enforce immigration laws, which is their responsibility, then yes, we got to have a convention of the states. We got to, you know, it's like we got to put this thing back together, George.
Yep, exactly. The counties, several counties are here in South Texas are going to have a similar convention of counties. And that's why the governor is beginning to respond and reacting to it, because they themselves are putting together a consolidation of counties to address the thing, to get the state to do something. They want to, number one, ask the state to declare an emergency, but then the state needs to do to act in some form or fashion to get federal response and federal action. And to be honest with you, I just don't see it happening. I see them, I see them giving money to nonprofits to ship the illegal aliens to other states and to other parts, but I don't see them doing anything to stop the flow.
Right. No, that's exactly right. Let me take a little break, George, and then we come back. Let's follow up on the point you just made about when this thing is going to be stopped, because I don't see any signs that this is stopping anytime soon. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're chatting tonight with our good friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. George is getting a storm, and I think we're about to get a storm up here in Dallas. So we always seem to have the same weather, George. That is the one thing that we not only have the same political climate or the same views, but we seem to have the similar climate when we do our get-togethers. By the way, the president has finished speaking, and I think the big question, he spoke for about an hour and 10 minutes, maybe a little bit less, maybe an hour and five, I'm not sure, but over an hour. So I think the big question tonight, George, is how many times did Speaker Pelosi stand up to cheer? I think that's going to be the big trivia question. And yeah, that's going to be the big trivia question here over the next couple of days. You know, how many times did she stand up? And I'm sure some people will be making some bets about that, because she was standing up a lot. You know, she was like every chance she had, she got up. Well, let's get back to the other person who was standing up a lot, of course, is the vice president. So let's talk a little bit about her, because she was put in charge of of the border, at least to oversee this, and we haven't seen her down here at all. She did apparently meet or virtually chatted with the president of Guatemala. And
correct.
I guess they promised to train their border people better.
Yeah.
They're going to give them some money. And so, you know, I'm sure the Border Patrol people feel great about that, that we're giving $3 billion to Guatemala.
I mean, it really, you know, again, it shows the hypocrisy and lack of respect for America, where you, when you give money, that much money to a foreign country, but you don't do anything about protecting our border. I mean, you could have used that. That money could have been used to, A, finish the wall, B,
right.
to hire more agents. I mean, it's outrageous and offensive in my book.
No, I agree. And also, the other question I would ask is, okay, let's assume that we got the money and let's assume that we can give it. But what is that money going to do? I mean, the problem is not on the Guatemala border. The problem is on our border. And the reason they're coming is because we are taking them in.
Yeah,
we didn't have this problem 6 months ago or 9 months ago, because 9 months ago, anybody in Guatemala who wanted to come to the United States knew they were going to remain in Mexico, George.
Yeah, I mean, again... It's one of those situations. You and I know, because we know Latin America, we
right.
know that that money that they give Latin America never reaches, you
mm-hmm.
know, the people that are leaving. And the reason is because of the corruption. So why
sure.
do you continue to do the same thing? I mean, isn't that the definition of insanity, that you
sure,
continue
exactly.
to do the same thing over and over again?
No, you're exactly right. And that's the whole question that I have here. What exactly is Guatemala going to do?
Yeah.
Even if they were acting in good faith, you know, even if we have – so let's assume that we had the money, that or let's assume that it was surplus money, and let's assume that Guatemala would spend it wisely. What exactly is that going to do? The problem is not Guatemala. First of all, Guatemala has a border with Mexico. So really, there's not much you can do about Guatemala if you don't deal with Mexico. In fact, there was a very interesting article that came out. I don't remember. I just saw the headline of the article, but it really caught my attention, basically saying that if you're going to do something about this, you better talk to Mexico, because Mexico is really the key player here.
That's
They're
exactly
the country
right.
on our border. So
that's exactly
if
right.
you want to get here, you got to go through Mexico. So really, you got to have Mexico
you know,
on your
if
side.
Mexico
here.
Shut down, if Mexico was serious and shut down the flow of people, let me tell you, it would be over. It would be over. And if you recall, you know, the screaming and yelling by foreign experts like John Kerry and a few others, the way that they screamed because Trump threatened Mexico and said, you know, you better do something or else. And they all screamed and yelled, but it was effective.
Yeah, it was very effective, because the Remain in Mexico policy basically said, if you want to come to the United States, you either stay in your country or you remain in Mexico. And look, I'm not an expert on these things, but my gut feeling is that a person in Guatemala would rather stay in Guatemala than travel
Mexico.
To Mexico. Because you're not exactly going to be able to do a lot in Mexico. You're not going to get a job, and you're not going to be able to work, and you're going to be misused probably by criminal elements.
Well, yeah,
so,
we saw how the mayor in Tijuana, migrants.
Caravans.
Caravan started to stay there, how they were less than welcomed. They were told,
yeah.
you know, stay on your side of town, shut up, and don't bother us.
Well, sure, because, you know, the reality is that if somebody's staying in your city, somebody's got to pay for this.
Exactly.
I mean, these people are not coming with a bunch of – they're not like tourists who are coming to bring dollars
yeah.
into your city. I mean, it's one thing, you know,
yeah.
when you have a – I don't know. I'll just use a crazy example. Let's say when people go down to Cancun on vacation. Okay, you go to Cancun on vacation, you're leaving a lot of money. You're taking money down. You're renting a hotel. or, you know, you're going out to eat. I mean, you're literally, you are a net contributor to the city of Cancun.
Right.
When somebody,
it fuels the economy.
Exactly.
These people are
when
doing
somebody
everything
from Mexico,
the economy.
Exactly. When people from Mexico used to come to San Antonio, your hometown, and they would come to San Antonio on weekends or shopping or to spend some time, they were leaving money in San Antonio because they were coming with money and they would go out to eat or rent a hotel or whatever. That's not what happens with these caravans. These caravans show up and somebody's got to take care of them. Somebody has to provide for them now. To say the least, the charities do their best, and that's okay. I understand that charities have a tough job to do, and Catholic Charities, for example, does a lot of work with people, and that's fine. Most of them are nice people who are trying to do their best. But they're still not leaving any money down. And I mean, they don't. So if they come into Tijuana, if 3,000 or 4,000 of them come into Tijuana, the economy of Tijuana is not benefiting from any of this. The economy of whatever city in Mexico they come into is not gaining from any of this. So anyway, it's a big negative, just as it is for the United States when people come in, and you know they're coming in and they got to be taken care of, and we have all these judicial expenses. I mean, all these court cases, that's all going to cost a lot of money, George. I mean, we got to have extra judges to do all this stuff. That's not free, George.
I know it is everything that they get is courtesy of the taxpayer, and
right.
You know, when they will start producing and putting back into it is anybody's guess, if ever.
Right.
Because,
that's right.
Again, like I've told you, many of the people that I ran into at the bus station here were young women who had very little education, who had kids. Where are they
right.
going to work? And doing
exactly.
what, and when
right.
will they ever be able? So it's one of those situations where we're, you know, giving their homeland money.
Mm-hmm.
It's really really like dropping it into a black hole. It's not going to reach anybody. It's going to enrich the oligarchy, and you know, I mean, it does nothing to address the
right.
issue.
No, I agree, and that's the only way to address the issue, honestly, is to reinstate the policies that were working. Of course, that presents political problems for the Biden administration. Well, George, let me ask you, this is just a guess, getting back to the president's speech here as we wrap up tonight. He spoke for an hour, so let's say 70 minutes he spoke. How many times would you guess that Nancy Pelosi got up? I am going to guess 22. I'm going to say 22. What would be your best guess, George?
I will say I'm going to go with a good round number of 25.
25. All right. So 22, 25. If somebody wants to take the time and conduct personal torture, they can watch the speech and count the number of times she got up. That would be a great homework assignment for somebody listening, George.
Yes, it's a good research project for some.
Yeah, there you go.
Political science student.
Yeah, if a teacher out there wants to punish a student for misbehaving, have the student watch the speech, and jot down every single time that the speaker got up, and tell us how many times. That would be a great punishment. That would be the kind of thing that they used to do in Catholic schools when I went to schools. The teacher would say, "Oh, okay, I'm going to give you instead of going to the blackboard and write your name 100 times, you're going to watch that speech and count the number of times that Speaker Pelosi got up." I'll say 22, you say 25, George. It would be interesting to know the real number because she did get
we'll
up a lot
many.
Of times. She got up a lot of times, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm sure,
well, George,
I'm sure that there will be a count sometime soon. I bet you somebody will reveal a count.
Well, I would love to hear that because I would love to see that count because I never seen a lady so happy to get up and applaud as I saw. I mean, yeah, I haven't seen that much excitement over somebody at the microphone since Ed Sullivan and the Beatles. I mean, when you had all those people screaming, all those girls screaming and applauding, I haven't seen anything since then, George.
It'll be very, very, it reeked of phoniness. I'm sorry. I hate to sound like I'm being petty, petty and political, but it just reeked of phoniness.
No, you're not being petty and political. You're being 100% truthful. I mean, it looked as phony as it could get. And all those people sitting down wearing a mask 6 feet from each other who have been vaccinated, that even looked sillier. George, thank you for joining us tonight, as always, and make sure your umbrella is not broken in case you got to use it.
Well, I've got news for you. We've got a little bit of hail outside right now.
Ooh, that's
not very big.
That's bad. Hail, that's bad.
And the lights are about to go off, so we better go.
Yeah, we better go. All right, buddy. Thank you for your time, as always.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Our good friend George Rodriguez down in San Antonio, what he's getting, we're going to get probably in the next couple of hours. So it's coming. It's coming up this way. It always, for some reason, the weather here always goes up or down, north or south, I-35. You know, the rain is either coming up I-35 or going south I-35. That seems to be the way the weather works around here. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.